Welcome to Wednesday family night.
Hallelujah.
Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. Who am I, say? Who am I that you are mindful of me? When I call, is it true? Is it true that you are thinking of me? Oh, how you love me, yeah. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God.
Hallelujah. Say that with me. Free to dance. Come on, say.
I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free.
Free to dance. Come on. Free tonight.
Free to dance and sing. Free to lift my hands and worship the Lord.
Oh,
Lord,
I'm a free worshiper.
I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. I'm a free worshiper. Lord, I'm free.
Say it again.
I'm a free worshiper.
Hallelujah. That's a declaration. Come on, say it with me.
Thank God I'm free, and I'll never be bound again.
Come on, declare that tonight. Declare it.
Thank God I'm free, and I'll never be bound again.
Come on, say it again. Just take a moment and thank God for the freedom that you have in Him. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Free indeed. We're free indeed.
Oh, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say, you're my God. You're altogether. Altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Can I say it?
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say, you're my God. You're to say, oh my God.
Come on, say it.
You're together now. All together. All together.
God, we honor you tonight. You are wonderful to us. You're marvelous. You're glorious. And we are here tonight to worship you. For it is in you that we live, move, and have our being. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. Thank you for every dear heart that is here tonight. Pray that you meet everyone at the very point of their need. Some are searching. They need answers. Some are hurting. They need healing. Some need a word. They need direction. Some just need to be reminded that you are in the midst of their lives. So God, I thank you that you are meeting everyone tonight. You said you never leave us nor forsake us. So we thank you. We honor you for the opportunity that we have to come together Wednesday night and worship you in spirit and in truth. We give you praise. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for healing our bodies. We love you tonight. Be with us the rest of this evening as we share together in the word. Pray for our youth tonight. Pray for our children tonight. Bless your name, God. We pray for the Hughes family, the Ana family, as they grieve the loss of Pamela Planter, Paulette's sister. God, we pray for your embrace, your peace. Surround them, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch Brenda tonight. Touch Brenda, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. We bless you now. We bless you now. We love you. Let's say our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. My due season. I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life, I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please me to bless the house of thy soul, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, give the Lord a big hand praise. Hallelujah. Take a moment and go greet a couple of people and tell them, welcome to the presence. Hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening. Everybody doing good tonight? Want to welcome those watching live stream and on our Facebook page. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's Wednesday night. I want to give a special greeting to some first-time visitors tonight, Jermaine and Chelsea Gilmore. Been in here in Owosso for a year. God bless you all. Thank you all for joining us tonight. And as you all heard me praying, Paulette's sister, Pamela Planter, passed away 2 days, Monday. And so we want you to be in prayer. And then the next thing I really want you to listen to, because I know, we like to call people and check on them and all that, but the family is asking that you do not call Brenda. Do not call her, okay? And just give them some space if you need to talk to a family member. Paulette says she's available, but other than that, just allow them this time, okay? And we will email you information about the service tomorrow. All right. Our youth already? They're already. All right. They gone. All right. Well, go on in. Thank God for our energy youth. I want to just remind everybody about this coming Saturday is our annual church family breakfast. It's at First Bank of Owosso, right there on the corner of 86, right, and Garnett. And I believe if you haven't received it, there's an email going out about that. It's $5 a person, but if we've had a few people that approached us and said, listen, if anybody needs help, I want to give an extra $5. So we've got plenty. We've got over 50 people registered so far, but if you haven't registered, it's not too late. Just go in and let us know because we want to make sure. I called Trails in today and just said, hey, man, I need to up the number a little bit more because Ollie wants an extra piece of bacon. And sausage, too. Oh, now I got to call him again. but we want everybody to come. What I always do at this breakfast is I give the state of the church address. And so we address a lot of things, accomplishments from last year and what we are planning for this year, get into some financial stuff, how we did it financially as a church and where the money, how the money came in and how it's going out. And so I enjoy this time of kind of setting the course for what we're going to do the rest of this year. Amen. So please, I invite you to attend that. All right, tonight, you ready? Man. Just one verse Bible study. All right, here it is. Go to Romans 8:28. I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Version, but I want somebody to get me the King James. And then if somebody has another version, we'll read it as well. Hold on just a sec. I just want to say that I really enjoy this one-verse Bible study. I learned so much, and I don't know. Who knows? It's just good information. It's just good information. I enjoy doing it. I always learn something out of it. So, all right. Here we go. Romans 8:28. This is the New American Standard Bible, NASB. And then I'm going to have somebody. Who has the King James? Just raise your hand if you're ready. Okay, Jake. Well, Miss Jane, you got that. No, I'm just, now that you know I'm missing. That, what was wrong with the old cane? Got to have a new cane. All right. You got, all right. It probably reads the same, pretty much the same. All right, here's the New American Standard. It's familiar scripture. And we know that God causes what? All things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Miss Jane, take this microphone and speak into it.
together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
All right. Somebody have another version? You have, all right. Tamala got the Amplified.
And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose.
Anybody else? Huh? I'm having Dad read the old King. All right, here you go. I thought you had New King. You got, huh? It's the old one. It's the old.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Ah, I like that. The called. According to, anybody else? All right. Okay. All right, so now, one of the things that I like to do is to maybe try to find the context, right? So without reading the whole chapter, I want to read for you just three verses that may signal sort of the context of this verse, all right? And that's verse 18. Let me read to you verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. So, one of the things that we get from this verse is that we are going to suffer some things. Okay? Christianity is not a bed of roses. It doesn't guarantee that all is going to go perfect and that, you know, you're just going to skip through a beautiful lily field, and you know you're going to go through some things. Okay, so that's sort of the beginning of the context. We will suffer, but the end result is that the glory of God will be revealed in us. Okay, then if you look at verses 26 and 27, leading up to verse 28, it says, in the same way, the Spirit of God also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Okay. And then it says, and we know. All right. So now verse 26 and 27, here's sort of the gist of it. This is what I wrote from this. We pray and yield to God, yield to the Spirit of God, casting all our cares upon him, knowing that whatever things we face, it will result in more of God's glory being revealed in our lives. So the work together for good is that whatever we experience, whatever things we experience, it is going to result in the glory of God being revealed in us in some way. Okay? So the intensity of the blessing, or the intensity of the glory, will far outweigh the intensity of the thing, whatever thing with the trial. Something good is going to come out of it. Okay? No? I'm sure you all have this testimony as well, that you go through a real difficult time, and you learn something about yourself, or you learn something about God, or you your faith goes to another level, even though it was difficult, and you realize that had you not gone through that thing, you would not have attained that truth or that blessing in your life. There are songs that I've written that I would have never written had I not gone through something. There are some songs that I've written. Want to know one? The Faithful One. One of the most difficult, I won't tell you, one of the most difficult times in my life. Difficult times in my life. And when that thing hit me, the only thing I could do was go to the piano. And that's what came out. So every time I sing that song, it is a reminder to me that all things work together for good. So it doesn't mean that God caused the thing to happen. He's not just trying to make you go through stuff. But life happens. Things happen in our life that are unexpected. Okay? But if you are willing to stick close to God and pray through it and stay connected. I'm gonna tell this story again, babe. We were this is years ago. We were at a church, and this young lady, love her to death, sweetheart. She was engaged to be married, and the engagement fell through. And she was just broken heart. I'm laughing because of what she said. We were in the office. I was, she was a part of the fine arts team. I was the worship pastor of this church, and she was sitting in my office. Sonola was there, and she was just bawling. And she didn't cuss. I don't think she did. Oh, she did. Okay, she did. She did. She was so cute, though. It was just so cute. And she said, you know, I'm just tired of this. And it's just not fair. Her dad and her mom, her dad is pastor, her mom is a prophet. I mean, man and woman of God. And so, you know, I was just grasping for anything. I was like, Lord, give me what to say, what to share. And I said to her, well, sweetheart, what did your dad say? She was crying, and then she stopped. She looked at me, rolled her eyes. She said, my dad said to stay connected to your local church. What does that mean? Well, this is what he meant. He meant, sweetheart, you're going through a very difficult time. The last thing you need to do right now is to disconnect yourself to your lifeline. Stay connected to God. You know, it's amazing to me that when people go through things, one of the first things they do is stop coming to church. Well, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to separate you from the flock. I love y'all, those watching online, I love you. But I've said this many times, there you are getting blessed by watching, no doubt about it. But I will not stand here and say that it's the same thing as being in the house. There is something that you get from the connection of other people. And so, so it doesn't matter what you're going through, just look at the person next to you and say, stay connected to your local church. Your local church. So let me say this other thing. One other thing, and then I'll open it up just for comments. I have a little more to share. But, you know, back in the day, this talking about the glory being revealed. Back in the day, when you wanted to take a picture of someone, what was the process? Now, I'm going to let the photographer. Back in the day, how did you get, what did you do? What was the process? You know, there you go. Right. So you'd have the
he's so good, Gary.
You'd have the roll of film, right? And you take the pictures, and then you take then you roll it back. And Lord, God forbid that something malfunctions, and you open the thing, and it's exposed, and oh gosh. But you take the roll, and then you'd send it to a whatever, and they would put it in the what? Dark room. The pictures have to be developed in the dark room. And if that film gets exposed to the light before it's developed, it's going to look all crazy. It's messed up. So the film has to go into the dark room so that the picture can be developed. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the film. And many times, your thing, your hard time, your difficult season is the dark room. And you're going through that dark season so that something in you can be developed. There has to be a negative before the positive. Thank you, Mr. Photographer Man. It didn't do it perfectly. But that's a good point. Listen, now the worst thing that you can do when you go through a dark time is do this. Let me out! Let me out! Let me out! And you run out, and then you all looking all deformed and because you're not developed. Right? So to me, that's the good that God causes to work out in us. Is that we get more of God's glory, we get more of God's spirit when we yield to Him. All right? Thoughts? Anybody? They're standing in line. Hands are going up all over the building.
The film, he wants us to be conformed into Christ's image.
Is that 29? We did we do that one already?
Oh, I'm thinking of B.
Oh, yeah, yes. I was thinking of be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed. Okay. All right, anybody else? So the dark seasons, they are for our good. They are for our good. Now, you don't have to answer just for any. Has anybody ever gone through a dark season? And look. Here's the thing. The enemy doesn't send you a text or an email telling you when it's going to happen. We have all been in some way like Joseph, just minding our own business, sporting our coat of many colors, and next thing we know, our coat's gone and we're in a pit. Blindsided. Yes, right, Leanne, blindsided. But the reality of that is this. At the time that Joseph was thrown in the pit, he had no idea what God was planning for him. But God knew. And God had to take him into a pit, into a Potiphar's house, which was a measure of blessing, but it wasn't the end. You can't get so comfortable in Potiphar's house, because the reality is he was a slave in Potiphar's house. And then from there he goes to prison for something he didn't do, and then from there, palace. So if you're unwilling to go through that process, talk about somebody where all things work together for good. I mean, because by the time Joseph got to the palace, he was living large, blessing after blessing. But he had to go through some dark times.
And the thing I love, listen, I love the story of Joseph. I think I just love the story. It'd be a great movie. The thing I love about that story is that by the time Joseph got to the palace, his brothers come, right? And they don't really know that it's him. He knows that it's them. And you know, after a while, Joseph has to go and cry and say, all the, you know, some of those feelings maybe came back. And once the brothers realized who he was, they were like, "We're so sorry, Joseph. We're sorry. We thought you were dead. We threw you in the pit." Da, da, da. And Joseph responds like this: "It wasn't you. It was God. It was God who allowed me to be thrown in the pit. It was God who allowed me to go to Potiphar's house. It was God who allowed me to go to prison. It was God who now allows me to stand in this place, not holding a grudge." Why? Because all things work together for good. Now, anybody have a comment? Yes, sweetheart. Hold on. Turn this number two on.
You had mentioned that, you know, the enemy doesn't let us know when he's coming, which is true. But what is also true is that God doesn't let us know when it's going to be over. You know, and it's a matter of what are we doing while we're in the dark room. We want things to be over quickly, and, you know, we want to rush the process. But we can't rush the process. Just like the film, if you come out before you have been developed, you're going to be jacked up. And the scripture says, let patience have her perfect work. There's a perfect work in being patient. So.
Good. Very good. It's good. Anybody else? All right, so now there's two conditions, ladies and gentlemen. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who... Excuse me? Okay. Condition number one, you must love God. You know, listen, you don't get the all things work together for good unless you love God. Now, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? I don't understand. All right. So listen. First and foremost, talking about the love of God. First and foremost, we love God because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. We love God because he first loved us. Second, we can't love him just any kind of way. We must love him with all our heart, all our soul, and with all our mind. It has to be a total love commitment. We're not talking about I'm a believer. That can mean a whole lot of things. Do you love God? Are you committed to him? Have you given your life to him, all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? That's Deuteronomy 6:5 and also Luke 10:27. That's the love that God is talking about. So you don't get the all things if you're on the fence with your love. Okay? Thirdly, if we love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, then we will keep his commandments. And newsflash, we're not just talking about the 10. Because the Word of God mentions many commandments, many things that God requires. One has to do with love. He told his disciples, I believe it was the 13th, 14th chapter, maybe 16th of John, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, How did he love us? He gave himself up for us. He forgave us unconditionally. Unconditional forgiveness. So 1 John 5 and 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And his commandments are not burdensome. Listen. He's not asking us or commanding us to do something that we can't do. Right? So if you really want all things to work out for your good, you have to love God. And it's not love your way, it's love his way. Anything on that? Anybody have any comments or questions on the love of God that we are supposed to have? All right. Here's condition number two. To those who are called according to his purpose. So you must be operating in the calling and purpose of God. If you're not in a place of obedience, right? If you're kind of doing your own thing, yeah, I'm saved, but you know, God knows my heart. Yeah, that's the problem. He knows your heart, and it's not in the right place. All right? So here's a question. What is God's purpose? Because it says, called according to his purpose. What is God's purpose? I yield the floor. The word of God? His word? Huh? His promises? Okay. His word. Preach good news to the poor? His purpose? His love for us? Okay. Anybody else? What's God's purpose? Let all men come into the knowledge of God. This is what I have, put simply, and those are all right answers. Huh? What'd you say? What? Receive us as his own. Yeah. Here's what I wrote, put simply. God's purpose is to redeem and reconcile man back to himself. Everything that he did, sending his son, was to redeem man and reconcile him back to himself. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, I'm going to read verses 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." All right? Verse 18. "Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of" what? Reconciliation. Verse 19. "Namely, that God was in Christ." Now stop right there. Just let that sink in. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ." And the Word, John 1st chapter, verse 16, I believe. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that flesh that was on the earth, Jesus Christ, was God, that was God in Christ. He sent his son. He sent himself in the form of his son in order to reconcile man back to himself. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us what? The word of reconciliation, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That is God's purpose, and that is the purpose that he's given us here on the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that everywhere we go, Walmart, restaurant, that we just tear into people. Sitting at a restaurant, the waitress comes, "Hi, like to take your drink order?" First of all, do you know the Lord? I was having lunch with somebody. I was just embarrassed at the way that they were treating the waitress. It was just, I was, huh? Colorado, can I say that though? I can't say what he said though, right? There's like, say it. Shoot, it's a good story though. How can I say? We were at a restaurant. I was ministering at a church. This was years ago. And we went to this restaurant, and the waiter came and said, can I take your drink order? Would you like any, wine or anything, And the pastor just, I don't want none of that devil liquid, I was just so embarrassed. And then we ended up going to we went to another restaurant. I was so glad, because, when you're mean at waiters and stuff, you just, they're preparing your food. Just saying. But anyway, listen. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer to those who ask you. You should live your life and shine your light in a way that people see a difference and want to ask you. Being a witness, I'm sorry, doesn't mean you go door to door. Now, I'm not saying that it's not a sin to do that, but that's not what it means to be a witness. Is to live your life in a way that shines the light of Christ. Right? So if that is your mindset, if your desire is to with your life to live your life in a way that draws people, that is contagious. People want to ask you questions. That's the way Jesus works. Harlots and robbers and all were always around Jesus, and he didn't mind them being around. So those who are called according to his purpose is he wants sinners to come to Christ. And so wherever you go on your job, wherever you are, you should live your life in a way that you can shine your light and spread some salt. And when God gives you the opportunity to share with somebody come to you on your job or whatever, and say, I just got to ask you, because I know what so-and-so did to you. And if it had been me, I would have been slitting some tires or something. But you just smiled and said, God bless you. How did you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. There's your door. Right? So, those who love God and are working for God. When you truly love God and you're working for God, then you don't have to worry about nothing. All things work together for good. Okay? Anybody have any comments on that? Yes, sir. And here's the sad thing. Somebody may look at them and say, what does repent mean? You know? Now, some of you could. You know. There are a lot of people who are not right now, not serving the Lord, and they grew up in the church. They could probably quote as many scriptures as you can. But they wouldn't darken the doors of a church because they've been hurt or they've been... or whatever church they grew up in, crazy stuff was happening, whatever. A lot of hurt people. And so they've thrown out Jesus, thrown out God along with it. And it's not God's fault. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. There are qualifiers. That's right. That's the... there. Right. Because... If you're living outside the will of God, there are a lot of people who have given their life to Christ, but they, listen. There are, let me just drop something on you real quick. There are three, I say three levels, levels of your relationship with God. Number one, he's your Savior. Number two, he's your Lord. And then number three, he's your God. Okay? Now, Savior is the salvation process. You've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You've repented of your sins. Okay, but you're just a babe in Christ. You don't stop there. There has to be some maturity. So the next is that he's your Lord. Lord, think of it this way. He's your soul Lord. So you've yielded your soul to him, right? But that's just the second. The third is, and this came from Thomas when Jesus walked in the door, because Thomas wasn't there after Jesus appeared the first time, and then he saw his hands, and then Thomas said, my Lord and my, now three, God. Now, that is, I'll put it like this. Like Noah, the Bible says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time, and he walked with God. So he's your Lord because you totally yield to him. He's your God because you are doing everything you can to be like him. Savior, get saved. Just repent. Next step, he's my Lord. I'm learning more about him. I'm yielding my life to him, right? That's a process. We never stop. But God is when he's my God. There is nothing in this world that I put before him, and I want to be like him. So when you think of it that way, I believe in order for you to benefit from this verse, you at least have to be, he has to be your Lord. You have to be in a place in your life where you have yielded lordship to him. You pay spiritual rent to him. Okay? So yes, to your point, unfortunately, that verse doesn't apply to everybody. Because if you don't meet the conditions, okay? Same thing as, for there are conditions in the Word of God, all through it. Jesus told the woman at the well, they that worship me must worship me how? If you don't worship me in spirit and in truth, then I don't accept it. We think God accepts anything. He doesn't. No more than when you go to a restaurant and order something, and it doesn't come the way you wanted it. You ordered a ribeye, medium well, and it came... it came either mooing or it came dark as and dry as. What are you going to do? Oh, that's okay. I'll take it. I'll eat it. Nuh-uh. I need to see the manager. You know, Boy, people lose their salvation over some food real quick. The point of the matter is, when you worship God and it's not how he ordered it, he's going to send it back. I love you, baby. That was a nice try. But here's the thing. You're worshiping me, and you just cuss somebody out. You got to go ask them for forgiveness first. Get that right. Then come back and worship. Okay? Anybody else? How many of y'all want all things to work out for your good? I do. All this craziness sometimes you have to go through. Look. Lord, I know I'm going to get something out of this one. Right? Some bad is for your good. Look. Just look in the Word of God. Just look at the landscape of the Word of God. Things that happen to certain people and everything. And here's the thing. Sometimes when something bad happens in your life, it doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. Sometimes it means that you did everything right. Ask the three Hebrew boys. What did they do wrong? Nothing. Where were they? Fiery furnace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Tonight, I know, God, all of us in some way are going through a thing, and it's uncomfortable. It's dark. And it hurts. But we trust your word. And as we give our lives to you wholeheartedly, as we surrender our lives to you and live our lives in a way that would be pleasing to you. And when we have the opportunity to share your story, which has become our story, we do that. And we do it with grace. And as we continue to do that, we know that the dark times in our life, first of all, they're not going to last forever. We will come out of the dark room. We will come out of the pit of despair. We will come out of the fiery furnace. We will come out of the lion's den. The truth of the matter is, those who love God and have surrendered their lives to them, we're going to get thrown in something. But we have this treasure. We have this promise. It's going to work for our good somehow. And we'll be better for it. So we trust you tonight. I pray again for Paulette and her family, her mom, that you would just give them peace. Pray for the Gilmores tonight, Lord, that you would just bless them and strengthen them and lead them, God. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Because we do know, that you're working everything out for us. And because of that, we can have peace. In the midst of our storms, we can have joy unspeakable and full of your glory. So we thank you for it now. Bless us as we leave this place, but not your presence. Bring us back. Thank you for this coming Saturday, our family breakfast, and then Sunday morning, our celebration service. We give you praise. Now lift those hands toward heaven. I give the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon at the presence.